I want you to give me your undivided attention. I was not going to share this with people publicly until I knew that I had a word from the Lord as to why this was happening. And it deals with something that happened to me recently, but we're going to apply some very good foundational teaching that's going to help you if you've ever heard your name called and you're sound asleep and you hear your name called, or you're walking through the house and you hear your name called. And this is not some type of mental problem that you are having or derangement syndrome that you're experiencing. And I want you to understand that. So listen to this. It's a very, very interesting teaching, okay? Now, there's four elements that you have to gain respect in life. Number one is your name. Number two is your word. Number three is your integrity. And number four, this is very important as well, is your reputation. So your name, your word, your integrity, and your reputation. Now, think about names for a moment. If I were to say to you, Hitler, Adolf Hitler, what do you picture? I picture the Holocaust. I picture death. I picture war. If I were to say Abraham Lincoln, I picture of a civil war, but I picture freedom. I picture breaking slavery. I picture one of the great presidents of the United States. So names are attached to the actions of people. And then you have your word. What is your word? Well, back when I grew up, a handshake meant that your word was your bond. If you made an agreement or a contract, you didn't have to sign a paper. You just shook hands with the guy that was, you know, that was building your fence or the guy that was cutting your yard, and you knew it would get done by the handshake. Now it's very, very different because people give you their word, but they don't keep their word. Now, the third thing that is very important in your life is your integrity. Now, one of the things I've noticed is that some people have financial problems and have difficulty paying bills, but in a church or a ministry, we always want to pay our bills not only on time, but sometimes way before the time they're actually due. And I know we had construction made in our house years ago, and the guy did a great job who was a local construction person. But sometimes he hired people, and that person that they hired did not do the best job. And sometimes we would try to make it right and say, can you come back and help us? Not the actual original person that constructed the house, but we could call them the subcontractor. And they wouldn't do it. Well, the thing is, if you do the outside of my house and I have to repair the whole outside of my house 5 years later, I'm not going to recommend you for a job. And every time you don't recommend somebody's restaurant or recommend them for a job, seven other people will hear about it. So you've got to be a person that keeps your integrity through your word of doing the right thing. And the fourth thing is your reputation. And your reputation is very significant because if you ever completely lose it, it's very difficult to get back. And your reputation is connected not just with your words, it's connected to your actions. So those four things are something that a person has to have in life to be successful in whatever you do. Now, the adversary, we could say Satan, we could say adversarial people, will come against one or all four of those. Sometimes they'll come against your name, your word, your reputation, attack your integrity. And this is what the Pharisees did with Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were notorious for trying to attack him. They said that he was casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They, you know, taught that his miracles were fake. They said that he was trying to break the law of God. They said they would misquote when he would say something. He said, destroy the temple in 3 days, and I'll build it back. He was talking about his death and resurrection. They said he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem. So they were adding to what he said to make it look like he said something he never said. So this is how the adversary works. Now, it's very important that when you're naming a child, which we have named our children and our children have named the grandchildren, is to give them names that have a very significant meaning for their future. This is what people did in the Bible. They began to name their children something that would be prophetic about their future. And I wish I had time to preach on prophetic names, but I don't. Now, someone said, well, tell us about the seven times God called your name. I will after I give you the foundation you need to understand. Now, in the Bible, God had a tendency of changing individuals' name concerning their prophetic future. Now, Abraham and Sarah were originally called Abram and Sarai. Now, Abram meant father, but Abraham meant father of many. And so what God did to the name Abram and the name Sarai is he added a Hebrew letter to each of their names. Abram became Abraham, Sarai became Sarah, and the letter was the letter He. It's the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It has a breathing sound to it. And I want you to notice in Genesis 17:15, when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, and he put the letter, that letter in that name, and Sarai to Sarah, and he put the letter He in her name, that letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter He, is found two times in the sacred name of God, Yud, Yud, He, Vav, He. So God took the two He's, the Hebrew letter from his name, put it in Abraham and Sarah's name, and guess what happened? Right after that, their son was born, after God changed their name. You have Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And Israel, Yisrael, means a prince that has prevailed, a prince with God that's prevailed. You have Joshua's original name, which was Hoshea, and his name was named Joshua, which is the English word of a form of Yeshua. And of course, to change that name, God had to add a letter of his name to Joshua's name. It's all very interesting. And then the New Testament, Matthew 16:18, you have another name change. And of course, he was called Simon Peter. He was first called Simon, and then he was later called Peter. And Peter comes from a Greek word that means a small stone, and it represents more stability in Peter's life. So God often changes a person's name. In some countries where Christians are saved and they've come out of a pagan religion and they have a paganic name or the name of an idol god, they will give them a Christian name. This happens in places maybe such as India, for example. Now, there's another spiritual principle here that I want to talk about, and it's God calling your name twice. Now, my name got called seven times, and I'll explain that. I'll give you the dates and times in just a moment. When God begins to call your name twice, I'm going to give you three quick examples. Genesis 22:11, Abraham, Abraham. It's when he was offering Isaac on the altar and God wanted to stop him from doing it and transition him with a new word. Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon. Now Jesus said to him, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. So it's a warning to him because Simon comes from a Hebrew word that means to hear or to listen. So when he said Simon, Simon, instead of Peter, Peter, he's saying to Simon Peter, pay attention to what I'm about to say to you. Something is about to happen. 1 Samuel 3:10, God says to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And that's when God was releasing his voice to Samuel, trying to get his attention. This is the Lord speaking. So if you ever hear your name called twice, it means God is trying to get your attention about something very significant. Now, we mentioned a moment ago about Samuel, and something about Samuel is very interesting because if you go to 2 Samuel 3, you'll discover that Samuel, as a matter of fact, the first time his name is called Samuel, he goes to the high priest Eli, wakes him up and says, did you call me? He said, no. He hears Samuel the second time. And he goes to Eli the priest. He said, did you call me to wake me up? And he said, no, but if it happens again, it may be the Lord say, here am I. So the third time is when God said, Samuel, Samuel. And that's when he said, Lord, here am I. And that was something that was very interesting. Of course, Samuel became known as a great prophet from the time he was a kid, probably 11, 12 years of age, is the first time he heard God calling his name. So God called his name to get his attention of something. Now I'm going to go back here and begin to share this with you in detail about when God called my name. And I've got the dates right here, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. And I'm not going to try to explain this. I'm not going to go into a theological explanation of how this happens. But my cousin went to be with the Lord, and she was killed in an accident on May 25th. She was supposed to come to Cleveland, Tennessee for 1 week and help me clean out my offices and my storage area. She was a ball card collector, started to be one. She was going to help me with all of that. So she passed away. So in the month of June, that particular week, I was working here in an afternoon. It was a Sunday, June 16th in the afternoon, kind of organizing some things. And we have an alarm system here it's not an alarm system. You have to pick up the phone, hit a button, and it goes beep, beep. And then somebody will come on and say, yes, is anyone here? And usually they do that if they see a car or they know you're here. Well, it went off and I waited for somebody to say something. Nothing happened. Went off again. I heard, waited for somebody to say something. Didn't happen. So I went to the other office to see if anybody was here. Didn't see anybody there. Didn't see anybody in the parking lot. And then this happened to me. And I'm telling you, this happened. I go back upstairs and on my right side, on the back of me, I heard my cousin who went to be with the Lord say, "Perry." And it was her voice. And it just, I said, "Oh my goodness." And I start speaking out loud. Where did that come from? How did that happen? This is right after she passed away. It scared me so bad. I said, it shook me so bad. I grabbed my stuff and went home. I thought, okay, that's kind of weird. On Sunday, again, it's Sunday, June 23rd at 5 in the morning, which was my birthday, I heard my name audibly called again. It was called so loud. It woke me out of my sleep. And I know when people call me from, you know, another room or maybe in the room I'm in sleeping in, and it was in my room. On Tuesday, August the 20th at 10:20 at night, while laying down, I had found out about an hour later. No, it was an hour later. It was about 30 minutes later that one of my former board members, one of my very, very dear friends, Joe Edwards, had just passed away and gone to be with the Lord. So this was about maybe 20 minutes after we got the call that Joe had passed away. So I'm laying down. I'm not asleep. I just have my eyes closed and I hear the name, "Hey, Perry." And I went, whoa. And I jumped, I said, okay. Then I start saying to myself, all right, I keep hearing my name called. Would somebody say something more than my name? Why is my name being called? And I wrote these down. That's how I know the dates. Tuesday, August the 27th, in my office, I had had a time where about 2, everything would dip in me with my energy. It's a long story. And I don't go to sleep, but I have to lay down. And I usually lay down and pray. So I was praying. I got real still. And man, I heard it again. It was in the room. I heard my voice called at 2:00 in the afternoon on Tuesday, August 27th. On Monday, September the 2nd, when I was asleep, and I'm telling you, I heard this. This is not my mind playing tricks. This is not me freaking out. This is not me having a breakdown. This is not me with neurological problems. I'm normal. Well, some of you may think so, and some of you may not. But on Monday, September the 2nd, in a deep sleep, I could hear my father's voice say, "Hey, Perry," just like he would say it on earth. And it was early in the morning there. Thursday, September the 15th, I was awakened at 7:15, heard a male voice say, "Perry." Friday, September the 13th, in that weird Friday the 13th, I heard Pam's voice, and she woke me up, and I sat up in the bed, thought she needed me, and she was over there asleep. So finally, I said, "I need to hear something more than my name. Please tell me something." Well, here's what happened. On the 7th time when it happened, okay, I heard my name called. So I heard it 7 times audibly, not in my head, not in my imagination, coming from out there 7 different times in 3 months. I finally said on the 7th time, "You've got to tell me something. What does this mean?" And so help me. And this was the one on August the 27th, I think. I heard 5 times. It was like a chorus of voices. "Finish strong, finish strong, finish strong." And to this day, it raises the hair on my arms and the back of my neck. Finish strong. And you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1-2, it talks about coming into the race and entering the race and that the important thing is finishing strong. Now, let me say something to you. This is a word that's very, very important. Why would God say to me, "Finish strong"? Because you've got to hear this. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. It is not how fast that you enter the race. It is, can you finish the race at the end strong? I'm going to say it again. It is not how fast you enter the race. I have seen ministers in my lifetime, I've been preaching 49 years, who suddenly came on the scene, and all of a sudden, within 3 years, they were nationally known, internationally known. They were having revivals that were reaching the world. But you know, something happened to them, and they did not really finish strong. They didn't have a strong finish in the race. There were healing evangelists in the 1940s that had great healing ministries with miracles, but they got involved with alcoholism. Most of them, it was not, a situation with a female. It was burnout, wearing themselves down, having breakdowns. One that had a breakdown and had to completely leave the ministry. That happened to several men. They overworked themselves. They didn't take the time to rest or whatever, and which can happen. But the bottom line is that that they could have had a ministry that at the very end would have been greater in the end than in the beginning, but something happened and they weren't able to finish strong. So here's the idea. The Bible says a good person may fall down seven times, but they get back up. Now I want you to think about this. So the key is not how many times a person falls. The key is, can you get back up? And when I say fall, I'm not talking about a physical fall here. I'm talking about you get discouraged, you get depressed. I'm talking about people that lose their temper and they said, I shouldn't have lost my temper. People that said things that says, I shouldn't have said things. They act in a way they should have acted. So these can be faults or failures. They can be weaknesses. But the Bible says a person that follows the Lord is going to make themselves get back up. Now, I want to share this with you because this is very important. And when I put this together, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and I don't know if it will be outside the United States or it will be in the United States, that I was going to be talking to Christians who had backed away from church because of their own failures, and there's going to be a minister that's going to listen to me that stepped out of the ministry and felt like that he could never go back in the ministry, although he's been forgiven, and although you're doing good, and you love your family, and you love Jesus, but you just said, well, you know, I'm not going back in ministry. Now, I want you to listen to me. Samson was called of God as a Nazarite, and the Bible said the Spirit of God began to move on him at times as a very young man. However, he had a terrible failure. Now remember, he had the Delilah situation, had his eyes taken, became blind and bound, going round and round in the house of the grain house of the granary house of the Philistines. In his life, he slew 1,000 Philistines. But I want you to notice this. In his death, and I think that may be Judges 16, he took out 3,000 Philistines at one time. In the end, let me just read Judges 16:30. So the death dead that he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So his end was greater than any other time. From the beginning to the end, it was greater at the finish line, and he failed. But he cried out to God, remember me, and the Lord remembered his covenant and the Nazarite vow with Samson. That's a whole nother message we don't have time to get into. David failed. He started out as a giant killer, bear killer, Philistine killer, but he had a midlife crisis where he failed with the woman, had the husband set up to be killed in the battle. But David, all over these Psalms, what you see in the Psalms, you see him crying out for mercy and crying out for God to help him. He's just crying out all the time. And then in Psalms 51 and 80, he said, Lord, heal me that the bones that you have broken will rejoice again. And that word rejoice actually can mean to dance and rejoice, not just make me feel better, but make my bones rejoice. Now, watch at the end of his life. Psalms 150 comes, the last known psalm that is in the Bible comes, and he says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts. He said, praise him on the timbrels, praise him on the organ, praise him on the drums, praise him on the high sounding cymbals. Now watch this, praise him in the dance. Now here's a man that was broken at midlife, but when he gets to the end of his life, he says, I've got my dance back. And a while back, I did a YouTube video called Dancing with Broken Bones. You might want to see that. Now the third example is Samson and David. Let me just say this, Samson and David are mentioned in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11:32. Now here's men that failed. You know, here's two men that miserably failed. And yet at the end, listen, it's not how fast you run. You may have guys all around you that have bigger churches than you do. You know, they've been in the ministry a while, yet you've been in it longer and you just can't seem to grow or do anything. That's not what's important. Can you remain faithful even in failure, faithful in discouragement, faithful when you want to give up, faithful when you have given up to come back? Because David and Samson are mentioned by Paul in Hebrews 11:32 in the roll call of the heroes of faith. Now, people wouldn't do that today. When people have a failure today, they want to kick them under the bus, beat them up, go on, you know, social media, blast them at everything they can. That's not what the Bible did. The Bible is a book of restoration. And let me tell you, restoration is not one-sided. For all the attackers who've been restored and the one they're attacking, they don't want restored. It doesn't work that way. Restoration is by the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is for all people. You know, Peter failed. failed. He cursed the Lord. He cursed an oath. He put a self-curse on himself if you study it. But he finished strong. You know how I know he finished strong? Because the historians tell us that when Peter was crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And he was crucified upside down. So here's what I want to tell you. The Lord's word for every person watching me is this. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've been through, no matter how many crazy people you've had to deal with, no matter how many churches you've been discouraged with, no matter how many ministries have disappointed you, you've got to understand, you've got to finish strong. You've got to make a decision today. You know what? I'm not going to abide as a victim. I'm not going to abide in my shame. I'm not going to abide in my guilt. I'm not going to let others define who I am. I am going to stand and hold my head up high and know I'm a son or daughter of God, covered by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus has redeemed me. And I'm going to forget those things that are behind, reach for the things before. And I know I was told several times throughout my lifetime, by ministers of the gospel. I said, what is the greatest thing that you can tell me? You know, I'm waiting for some long revelation. And they said, don't quit. Do not quit. And I can't tell you how many times through my life that was the word they said. And they said to me, because I was tempted to quit. And some of them said, you know what I even did? I quit the pastoring for a while. I quit ministry for a while. I got tired of dealing with people. I got tired of dealing with just all the belligerents in the church. But they quit. And they looked at me and they said, Perry, whatever you do, no matter what people think about you, no matter what they say, no matter how many enemies come, don't quit. You're going to win somebody that's going to change the nation, change the state, change the cities, change the world. You have spiritual sons and daughters out there looking up to you. You do not quit. And so I want to say this to you today. Finish strong. And that's the word I got from my voice being called seven times. Finish strong. Run the end of the race. Take that baton and run that fourth lap and just hold on to the baton. Don't drop it. Stay in the race and do not quit. Well, let me just say something to you. I've got some special offers, and please get the offer if you can. That's what helps us stay on television without ever asking for income, is our offers. See you in just a moment. Stay tuned.
God has reserved the revelation of many prophetic mysteries for the time of the end, a time when knowledge shall increase. Daniel declared, "None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." This powerful truth is what inspires us to host an annual prophetic summit, bringing together America's leading speakers and revelators, all gifted in discerning and interpreting end time events. The 2025 Summit featured 14 powerful services with seven prophetic leaders that Perry Stone is now making available to you in this special Manifest TV offer. When you order, you'll experience these five insightful messages from Perry. Is Trump a reformer leading a great American reset? Feasting on the wrong blood, Christians that are fellowshipping with demons. Why is God shaking churches and ministries before the rapture? The Vision, chastisement because of defiant Christians, the nomophobia strike, how angelic demonic wars in heaven are affecting weather on earth. Joseph Z illustrated his unique insights on the whiteboard with a revelation on the spirit of Elijah, the future of America. Bill Cloud brought Hebraic insight to the summit with these two messages. He is about to turn the tables over. He trains my hands for war. Mark Biltz used PowerPoint illustrations and charts to reveal Hebrew nuggets in his two teachings. Genesis mysteries from the Hebrew language. Birth pangs of the final redemption. John Kilpatrick posed the question, "The earth is speaking. Are you listening?" Plus, Jonathan Kahn expounds with a powerful message tracing the dragon's attack on Israel. And Mario Murillo hits hard with his message, "Away with the sissy false prophets." All 14 messages are now available on DVD for $95 and audio CD or USB drive for $65. This offer is also available for purchase as a digital audio download and video on demand when you visit perrystone.org. DVDs and video on demand include all PowerPoints, whiteboards, scriptures, and illustrations shown by the speakers. You'll receive over 14 hours of prophetic teaching, an investment in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Your purchase helps Perry Stone Ministries continue a global outreach. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Include your check and the appropriate offer number. For DVDs, use offer number 25PS-DVD. For CDs, use offer number 25PS-CD. And for USB drive, use offer number 25PS-USB. If you love biblical prophecy, this could be your greatest spiritual investment in 2025. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Man, I tell you what, I hope you get this message from the Prophetic Summit. We did one on angels and demons battling, producing weather patterns, and how rain is a part of the weather patterns and flooding. And that's part of the final, one of the final messages I preached. There's 14 messages on here, unedited, from all the speakers. If you did not get this, invest in this for your knowledge and information and wisdom and understanding. People have a lot of questions about things, and our teaching and the teaching of our speakers is geared to answer questions, so you don't have to spend hours looking it up. You get a teaching that's going to explain it to you, okay? I do want to mention this, that there's some places that we're coming to. We're going to come to Mercy and Grace Cathedral, Springdale, Arkansas, and that's August the 23rd and 24th. Sheridan Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have been there before, and it was just a wonderful church, on September the 7th. And then I do a Worth It Worship Summit with Paula Stefanovich Price and her team there, Granite City, Illinois, and that's September 12th, 13th, and 14th. Now, you can go to their website and get more information on that as well. I go to Covenant Community Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. There you go. And then we have our main event, and we've got so many other places that we're coming to. Best thing to do is go to parisstone.org and look up the information of where we're going to be coming to. We are coming to new places. And we have so much going on, but please plan on coming to the main event. Going to have a healing service on Friday with Billy Burke. Going to have Jonathan Kahn and myself. We've got all these great speakers coming. We want you to be a part of what God is about to do. The advertisement is on Facebook and also on our advertisements coming up. Don't forget to get the material that's being offered while it's available.
The final times and seasons are now upon us. Experience the best of prophecy and revival this coming fall. It will be myself, Perry Stone, Jonathan Kahn, Joseph C., Tommy Bates, Billy Burke, Lyndall Cooley and his worship team, Karen Peck and New River, beginning Tuesday night, October 7th through Saturday, October the 11th, with the great fall festival at the end of the day. I want you to register for this at perrystone.org if you know that you're coming and there's no fee to attend. So I want to tell you that this is going to be, in my opinion, the most significant conference we've ever had, with the best prophecy and a healing service Friday night with Billy Burke. Go to perrystone.org for information.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.